They're a good family. Yes. Those Boswells are good stock. Good people. All right. Do we have anything else? All right. So this morning, you guys, so glad to have you guys here. We are starting, let's see here, do I have any announcements to make? At the end of the month, December 31st, don't forget, we will have a family Sunday here. And so on New Year's Eve morning, we'll get together and the whole family will be in here worshiping together. Kids, adults, everybody. And then afterwards, we'll have a potluck dinner or a potluck lunch, the last one of the year. So it will be awesome. So don't forget about that. Hey, this morning, real quick, let's put up our mission statement. We'll say it together. Here it is. Let's do it. We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about as a church. We're loving, we're growing, we're going. And that's what I love about our church. And we've been doing it for over 6 years now. We're heading into, it'll be our seventh year before we know it. And it's just awesome. I love being a part of this church. I love this church family. And I love that our vision is love, is loving God, loving each other, growing in Jesus, going to our community. And so that's what we're all about. But this morning, what we're doing is we're starting a two-part series called Overflowing Life. And we're talking about how we can shift from a place of overwork and overwhelm. Has anybody ever felt overworked or overwhelmed? All right, the rest of you lie. And we get overworked. We feel overwhelmed. You know, in fact, I'd have to say that like over the last few years, I remember like, years ago, we're talking about many decades ago when I was a kid, whenever you met with somebody and they're like, hey, how are you doing? A lot of times the answer was good, right? It's doing good, doing well, right? And then it seemed like there was a shift somewhere in there and there was like a decade or so where I'd say, hey, how are you doing? People would go, busy. You notice that people say that now? How are you doing? Busy, just really busy right now. And now, more and more, I'll talk to people and go, how are you doing? They'll go, man, I'm just really overwhelmed. I'm super busy. I'm really overwhelmed. And so, you know, I believe that God wants us to move from a place of overwork and overwhelm to a place of overflow, to places of abundance, to like, yeah, man, awesome. Overflow, living the dream, you know? That God wants us to move to that place of abundance. And overflow. You know, 40% of Americans feel overworked. Yeah, they did some sort of survey. You ever notice with those surveys, you never get asked? Am I the only one? Like, I'm glad that you guys said that because I thought maybe they're just excluding me. Maybe I'm the only one that they're not talking to about this because they won't like my answer. I don't know. But 40% of Americans, they say, are feeling overworked. They work tons of hours. They take their work home with them. They hardly rest on their vacations. In fact, globally, 14% of people feel chronically overwhelmed. So all around the world, people are feeling overwhelmed, overworked. Anybody here on social media? You could lie so bad. I see you on Facebook. I see you there, okay? Social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Is anybody on Snapchat? You guys are on Snapchat, really? I tried it, and I was like, what's this all about? Delete. You know, I kind of got on there, and I was like, I don't even know what the deal is with this thing. I'm out of here. And I know that Snapchat has become like the number two most used social media in the world now. I just can't wrap my head around it. I don't know. Eric, are you sure you're not on there? Well, maybe you need to get on there, and we'll just Snapchat each other. Yeah, you will be my only friend. Yeah, okay. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't been able to wrap my head around Snapchat. But, you know, people on social media, they've actually, I don't know what to call it, a syndrome maybe, or I don't know if they call it a disease or whatever, but people on social media, I almost call it the social media. I'm so old now. People are on the social media. I'm on Facebook, and so, and I'm on Twitter. But people on the social media, they have this syndrome known as FOMO, F-O-M-O, and it's called fear of missing out. And literally they have this almost like this this urgency or this sensation or this addiction, something inside of them that makes them like check it compulsively, because they feel like if they don't, that they're missing out on something. What if so-and-so posted their coffee and I missed that? What if so-and-so posted a really stupid meme? What if there's something new on the System Is Down forum, you know? And they're like, I got to get on there. I got to check. And so they have this thing called the fear of missing out. And it's this addiction. They're addicted to Facebook. They're addicted to Instagram, to Snapchat, to Twitter accounts. And the sad thing about that, the sad thing about this fear of missing out, and it's like it's a real thing. Like people need like clinical help to get, you know, over their social media addictions. And the thing that's really sad about that is what they're really missing out on is real life. You know, what they're really missing out on is this incredible life that Jesus promised us, right? He promised us life, and life abundantly, a life that's overflowing. And there are people that are missing out on real life, on real connections with real people, with family and sunsets and, you know, and nature and community and all these. They're missing out on the real good stuff because they're afraid they're going to miss out on what's happening here. They might not know if somebody liked their stuff, you know. And I think we've all been there. We posted a picture. We're kind of like, oh, I wonder if anybody's liked that. And then we check it 2 minutes later just in case somebody liked it over the last 2 minutes, right? And so, but we live in this culture, really, that's sort of designed to keep us in this state of, like, of fear, right? Of even like a state of self-preservation or living on barely enough, you know, a shortage of time, shortage of energy, shortage of finances, shortage of resources, right? And like I said, that's not what God intended for us. Jesus said in John 10:10, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the whole world, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or have life and have it more abundantly, right? God wants for us abundance, life abundance. And unfortunately, like what has happened over a few decades is as Americans, we've come to look at abundantly as financially wealthy, right? Has anybody ever thought that? Really? Are you serious? I have. I've read it through my sort of like my Western eyes and thought, oh, okay, life abundantly, having abundance scripturally is having this abundance financially. But, you know, you'll find out that abundance financially is really just sort of like almost like a pale reflection to what God really wants for us. And so it's this life of abundance. It's a thriving life. It's a life of more than enough. Okay? So instead of this life of kind of eking by, it's a life of more than enough. And sometimes, really, and I have to say a lot of times, not just sometimes, but a lot of times, the only difference between a life of overwhelm and a life of overflow is our mindset, right? A lot of times, the only difference between a life of not enough, of shortage, is just, and a life that's overflowing is our mindset, is our attitude about life, right? Because with some people, they could have more and it just wouldn't be enough, right? Because a lot of times, you know, like I have friends that have taken mission trips, and I've taken mission trips, and what happens is one of the things that they notice is when they go to other countries, they notice that people are incredibly grateful for what they have, right? Even if they just have a little, they're just, oh, thank God I have this little hut. Thank God I have a chicken, right? Thank God I have something to put on my feet, right? And so that's kind of where their focus is. They're so grateful for what they have. And here in America, it's not thank God for what I have. It's why hasn't God given me what I want, right? And we're focused on what we don't have, usually, rather than being grateful for what we do have. And focusing on what we don't have leads to a shortage mindset, an overwhelmed mindset. That's not where God wants our focus. So life living with more than enough, a life abundant, a lot of times the difference is just our attitude, right? Because some people have a shortage mindset. A shortage mindset is, I'll never have enough. I'll never have enough, right? If you're constantly thinking, when circumstances are different, I'll have enough. When I get that raise, I'll have enough. When I get that new job, I'll have enough. When, you know, if I can just get a 20% increase, or if I could just get this, or if I could just make a little bit more money, or if I could just get a better car, if I could live at a nicer house, and we have good reasons for those things, right? If I could live in a nicer neighborhood for my children, if I could have, you know, and it's just like I'm constantly thinking about what we don't have, and we're thinking, if my circumstances were different, I'd have enough. If that's you, you might have a shortage mindset, right? And so a lot of times, our shortage mindset comes into play when it's time to take up the offering, right? Because when it's time to take up the offering, isn't it amazing how our minds work? I can't give because I have this. I can't give because I have to do about that. I can't give because I don't have enough to, right? And so if that's you, you might have a shortage mindset. A shortage mindset focuses on my resources, right? That's where the shortage mindset comes in. So if I have a shortage mindset, it's because I'm thinking about my resources, what I have, my income potential, my earning, my time, my whatever, my resources. And so a shortage mindset, it's focused on what I have, my limited resources. And it's almost like life is a pie, right? Life is a pie. And there's just not quite enough pie to go around, right? And if I give you a slice of my pie, I'm going to have less pie. And I might not have enough pie. And because this is banana cream pie, I don't want to share it, right? Okay? And so, or it's a tres leche cake, right? If I give you a piece of my tres leche cake, that's less for me then. Okay? And that's kind of a shortage mindset. It's the kind of mindset that will lead us to envy. It will lead us to insecurity. It will lead us to resentment. It leads us to stress. It leads us to fatigue. That's what a shortage mindset does to us. But some people have a surplus mindset. I love the surplus mindset. Don't you love the surplus mindset? Well, you know people with a surplus mindset? It's the mindset that says, God has more than I'll ever need. God has more than I'll ever need. So rather than going, looking at my resources, I'm looking at God's resources, and we all know that God has more than I'll ever need, right? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. We all remember that saying, right? And so instead of worrying about there not being enough pie, they know that God is the baker, and he can always make more pie, right? I know we've had discussions like that at the store. If you want to see our kids fight, set a bag of Doritos in front of them. If you want to see them fight, put a family-sized bag of Cheetos in front of them. Watch them grab huge handfuls and then begin to snarl at each other like hungry dogs. Right? And so we have to go, guys, there's more at the store. There's more at the store. Okay? But we have to understand when it comes to our time, when it comes to our resources, we are people who can tap into God's resources, and God can always make more Doritos, right? God can always make more pie. There is not a limited mindset, okay? Unless you're into Cheetos, in which case you're done because you've been puked on with Cheeto puke, and once that happens, it's over, right? Once you've been puked on with Cheeto puke, you don't want any more Cheetos. You're good to go, okay? But with the mindset of abundance, there's plenty. Right? Just like the air that we breathe. We're all sitting in the same room, and none of us are going, those people better not breathe all my air. There's always going to be more air, okay? We're not going to run out of air. We're going to be just fine in here, okay? And if we need to, we can go outside. There's plenty of air out there, okay? And so the abundance mindset says there's plenty. And when you have an abundance mindset, it brings peace, it brings joy, it brings generosity. It's easy to be generous because you can go, hey, God has more. God can make more. God is my provider. And it's all good. Okay? So God will always make more. So how do we change our mindset? And see, that's, you know, you can't just sit there and go, that's it, from now on, I'm an abundant mindset. It's hard because as soon as you're not consciously focusing on having an abundant mindset, it's going to go away. And you will naturally sort of default back into a shortage mindset. And so how do we change our mindset from shortage to surplus? How do we transition from overwhelm to overflow? That's what the next 2 weeks are going to be about. We're going to talk about that. Let's pray real quick, though. God, we love you so much. And we thank you, God, that you own it all, that you're the baker, and you always make more pie. And God, in you we have more than enough. more than we'll ever need. And I pray, God, that you would speak to us today, that your word would come alive in us, and Lord, that we would walk in your word, faithful to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to start off. We're going to take a look at one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, and it's the 23rd Psalm, right? And it goes like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Hey, let's say that together. I have all that I need. Yeah. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me. Isn't that awesome? God prepares a feast for us. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. Okay? Focusing on God's limitless resources results in a life of overflow. That's where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be on God's resources, God's unlimited resources. And when we understand that and we truly believe that and we truly walk in that, because what do? We walk out, we live out what we truly believe, right? I mean, you can say that you believe that all you want, but if you don't walk it out, it's not really a core belief. That's just a good idea that you're maybe hoping to one day attain to. But when we truly believe that, it results in a life of overflow. King David focused on God's resource, and so he had a surplus mindset. He was focused on God's resources. And he said, God takes care of me. He's my shepherd. God is my shepherd, so I have all that I need. In other words, God renews my strength. He renews my strength. God stays close beside me. God protects me. God comforts me. He prepares a feast for me. He says, my cup, and so what is our cup in Scripture? It says our cup overflows with blessing. Our cup represents our life. My life overflows with blessing. Okay? That's powerful. And so when your heart is fixed on those realities, when your heart is fixed on the reality that your cup overflows with God's blessing, that your life overflows with God's blessing, you can't help but overflow. You can't help it. You're like the kid who's like 8 years old and he finds $20 and it was all, you would have thought he won $2 million in the lottery because he's just giving it away to everybody. You ever notice little kids are like that? When a little kid finds money, they just give it away. I remember, I think I shared this story before, one time we had a kid spend the night at my house. I remember his name was Bruce Anderson. I don't know why I remember that because I was like 8 years old. And he spends the night at the house and he finds like $12 buried in the ground in a tree in my backyard. I have no idea how it got there. I assumed it was there before we ever moved in. And so what's the first thing he does? Hey guys, we're going to go see E.T. Hey, 1982, a long time ago. I was 11 years old, yeah. We're going to go see E.T. So he buys everybody tickets to go see E.T. Of course, this was back when movie tickets were a buck a pop, no big deal, right? And so my brother and me and Bruce, he goes, E.T., that's $3, okay? And then we go to sit down, and he's like, hey, man, you want a pop? And I was like, sure, I'll have a small one. No, large. He says that, large. And he goes up, and he buys me a pop, and he brings me back a pop. Because that's what little kids do, right? Because it's like, it's almost, there's that part in their brain that just says, this is just so much, and I'm just going to give it away. And that's what little kids do. And I believe that God wants us to kind of like be like children, you know, and say, hey, there's just God, I'm just going to overflow because God is filling me beyond capacity. He has an endless supply. My life is just filled beyond capacity with an endless supply of God's goodness, right? So how can we move from that? What creates a heart of overflow in our lives? It's habits. Habits create a heart of overflow in our lives. I mean, we forget how incredibly powerful habits are. Habits are what shape our lives. And so some of us develop habits without knowing that we've developed habits because they just sort of happen naturally, but we all have habits. Some of us have a habit of hitting the snooze bar. We hit the snooze bar every morning. Yeah, okay. So I know that I do it. I don't hit the snooze bar. I don't know who uses an alarm clock with a bar on it anymore. I pick up my phone and hit snooze and then throw it back on the table next to my bed, right? And so, you know, that's. But we all have habits, whether we form them intentionally or whether they just happen. But habits are enormously powerful, and habits determine the difference between success and failure in our lives. You want to know why some people are really successful at their job or have made a lot of money, or why some people are in incredible shape and they've got, you know, Greek chiseled bodies, you know, or why some people are like, I'm talking to you, Eric, and some people have, some people, you know, and we wonder why are they walking in success in these areas and I'm not? Can I just tell you, they have formed habits of success. Habits, okay? Habits make the difference between success and failure in our lives. Sometimes it's habits of thought, our thought habits. Sometimes it's habits of self-discipline, physical habits or intellectual habits or spiritual habits. But habits are super powerful. Aristotle said one time, we are what we repeatedly do. And you are what you repeatedly do. And so we have to understand the power of habits. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to cover the first two habits of overflow, habits of abundance mentality, okay, of overflowing life. Because there's four that I want to hit over the next 2 weeks. Today we're going to hit the first two, and next week we'll do the second two. But the first habit of an overflowing life is to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. What do I mean by stay connected to Jesus? And that's just simple. It's the habit of spending time in prayer in God's Word every day. That should be a habit. Like you know, most of us would never leave the house without brushing our teeth, right? I mean, does anybody like to leave the house without brushing their teeth? Can I get a hand? Okay? And nobody's going to raise their hand to that, even if it was true, right? We wouldn't do that because it's a habit, and we would not leave the house without brushing our teeth. And I really feel like about our time with Jesus and our time in prayer and our time in the Word, I mean, that should be more important to us than brushing our teeth, all right? It should be something that we do every day because our relationship with God is our power source. You know, if God is our power source and that's who we get our power from, then we don't want to leave home without it. You can't fulfill your purpose in life if you're not connected to the power source. You can't fulfill God's destiny for you. You can't walk in God's power. You can't walk in His wisdom. You can't walk in those things unless you're spending time with Him, right? And so that is a habit that will build abundance into your life, that will bring a surplus mindset, is time with Him every day or most days. That's like the best fitness advice I ever got. There was this show back on ESPN back in like the early 90s. It was called Bodies in Motion with Gilad. Does anybody remember Bodies in Motion with Gilad? Yes, okay. Yes, spandex guy. He's got the spandex and he's got the things. He's an Israeli guy, so he has the accent. Yeah, yes, oh yes, 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 yes. One more, and two more, and three, and he's great. Today we're gonna work on the glutes. Okay, so, but he used to read like viewer mail in the beginning, and one day he goes, Maria from wherever, Philadelphia writes, how often should I work out? You know, and his answer was, you should work out every day or most days, right? And so, like, I just always remember that, you know. And so I feel that way about our spiritual life, you know. You should spend time with Jesus every day, or most days, right? As often as you can. And so I always feel like if you've got enough time to watch Netflix, you got enough time to spend time with Jesus, you know. It's funny because, you know, Facebook has just shed new light on everybody that I know. And the same people who tell me they don't have time for Jesus every day, for some reason, have no problem sharing whatever they're binge-watching on Netflix. And so we do. We all have time to make time for the things that we value. And so this is something that we should value because it will move us to a place of overflow. Because God is our power source, okay? Stay connected to Jesus. Our relationship with God is a power source. You can't fulfill your purpose in life unless you're connected to the power source. John 15, 5 through 8 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. In other words, the people who spend time with Jesus, who remain in relationship with Him, will produce much fruit, will experience success, will exude the love of Christ and the grace and the wisdom of Christ, okay? So he says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. You ever feel like you're withering? You ever feel that way? I'm just withering up, man. I'm just drying up, okay? So spend time with Jesus. It says it's thrown away and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. Anybody ever feel burned out? Yeah, I have. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So I love like the abundance language. You will produce much fruit, right? In other words, you will make a difference in the lives around you. You will produce much fruit. If we're going to have a life that's full and overflowing, we have to stay connected to Jesus. We have to spend time with him. A relationship grows with time together, right? Wouldn't that be crazy if like you got married and then you lived in a separate house from your spouse and you never talked to each other? And then you were like, no, I'm married to that person that lives over in that house over there. Yeah, no, seriously, I know you never see us together. And we don't really talk, but we're married. And people might go, what? But for a lot of us, that's what our relationship with Jesus is like. I love him. I'm in relationship with him. I'm a Christian, which means little Christ, right? I'm devoted to him, but he's like the spouse that lives in another house that we never talk to. And so we've got to spend time with him. Relationship develops through time spent together, okay? And having a standing appointment with Jesus and encountering the rest and the peace and the strength of his presence in your everyday life. If you want to overflow with the love of God for others, then spend time loving God, okay? And so the other thing is, when you know, besides prayer, is meditation on God's word, right? Meditation is simply thinking about the same thing over and over again. That's what meditation is. There's no hocus pocus to it. You're just thinking about the same thing over and over again. And in our case, we're thinking about Scripture. We're thinking about the Word of God over and over again. Okay? And so, like, in fact, if you tend to worry is a form of meditation. Because you're just thinking about the same thing over and over again. You're thinking about that relationship. You're thinking about that job over and over again. You're thinking about your finances over and over again. You are meditating on your problems, okay? And so meditation is just simply thinking about the same thing over and over again. Obsessing over your sports team is meditation. Meditating on the Packers. Are there any Packers fans here? Can I just quickly, parenthetically, I love that we're not a sports church. I'm just like... I love it because people start to talk sports to me and it's like white noise. Somebody might as well have just turned on a really loud fan. Yeah, he did the thing with the ball. Go team, you know. And so, but, you know, obsessing over, your sports team or your hobby or whatever, that's a form of meditation. So give some of that mental energy to an encouraging scripture, you know. And you'll be meditating on God's word. It's really that simple. And so worry leads to overwhelm, but meditating on God's word leads to overflow. Overflow, all right? So the next thing is this. So first, stay connected to Jesus. The next thing is this. Stop griping and be grateful. Stop griping and be grateful. Griping is the quickest way to a shortage mindset. Complaining is just the quickest way to a not enough mindset, to shortage, to a sense of lack. You know, when we gripe, it's almost like our brain hears what we're saying and it just reinforces our negative thoughts, you know. Griping leads to just a lack mindset. Complaining easily leads to overwhelm. We start complaining, we start feeling overwhelmed, you know. And gratitude, on the other hand, leads to overflow. You start being grateful, right? Gratitude leads to overflow. Gratitude is scientifically proven to lower stress. Did you know that? Gratitude and being thankful, and when we write down what we're thankful for, when we verbalize, when we speak, when we use our words to express gratitude, it helps to lower stress. Did you know that gratitude, when you just say what you're grateful for or write down what you're grateful for, it actually produces chemicals in your brain. Does anybody ever hear the chemical serotonin? Yeah, serotonin, it produces dopamine, it produces oxytocin. Did you guys know what oxytocin is? Kids, cover your ears. Oxytocin is the same chemical that's produced when a husband and wife make love, right? So when we're grateful, it produces that that same chemical, that feeling of elation, that feeling of pleasure when we express gratitude. Because here's the thing about complaining. Complaining doesn't change anything. Have you ever been like, man, I just hate the weather that we're having, and then all of a sudden the skies cleared up and it got warm? It doesn't happen, right? Complaining won't change the weather, and complaining is not going to change your circumstance. The only thing complaining is going to do is complaining is going to lead you into a lack mindset. Complaining is going to lead you into a feeling of overwhelm. Complaining is going to lead you into negativity and make you just spiral down and make it very difficult to experience the life that Jesus calls us to, the life that Jesus promises of overflow, of abundance, right? And so complaining about your spouse, complaining about your job, complaining about anything else, it doesn't change a thing, okay? Colossians 2:7 says, let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will, what? Overflow with thankfulness. God wants you to overflow with thankfulness. He wants you to experience a life overflowing, and part of the way that happens is when we are thankful. If you have a gratitude journal, some people keep a gratitude journal. And I want to stop and pause here real quick, and just, I want you to understand something. When it comes to gratitude, gratitude not expressed really isn't necessarily gratitude. And so gratitude, we speak gratitude, even if it's just to the air, right? Even if it's just to the Lord, you're just speaking gratitude to the Lord, or you're writing down that gratitude, okay? Or you're just sending a grateful text, or you're doing something. But gratitude, it needs to be expressed, and we experience the power then in gratitude. It's not enough really to just kind of sit back and think, okay? And I want you guys to make it a practice to express that gratitude. Keep a gratitude journal. Send a little text. Put it on Facebook, what you're grateful for. Well, that'd be wonderful if we all just kind of started to put what we're grateful for on Facebook, okay? And so God wants you to overflow with thankfulness, because thankfulness leads to overflow, all right? And so this morning what I want to do, we're going to do something really fast here. We got a couple minutes, and we're going to do something different. We did it a few weeks ago. But what we're going to do is we're going to break into twos and threes, okay? So you guys sitting at the tables, you're like, I'm so glad I sat at the table. This will be so cool to break in my twos and threes at these sweet little coffee tables, okay? So, but we're going to break into twos or threes, and you're going to answer two questions, okay? Actually, you're going to do two things. So the first thing is this. Everybody listen up. It should be on your bulletin notes. The first thing is this. You are going to answer the question, what's keeping me from an overflowing life? So you're going to look at each other, and you're going to answer the question, what's keeping me from an overflowing life? So everybody got that first one? Just nod if you got that question locked in. What's keeping me from an overflowing life? You're going to share that with each other. And the second thing, what you're going to do is you're going to take turns, and you're going to share three things that you're thankful for, okay? Regardless of how you feel, even if you're in a horrible mood, even if you're like, I hate Christmas time, bah humbug, I'm the mean one, Mr. Grinch. Even if you can't think of it, even if you're feeling horribly overwhelmed, especially if you're feeling horribly overwhelmed, I want you to share three things that you are thankful for, okay? Because here's the thing. The mere act of, like, trying to come up with those things and then verbalizing them produces those chemicals, okay? And so you're going to share three things that you are thankful for. And then you're just going to say a quick prayer for each other, like super fast, like this fast. God, help this person to overflow with you. I just pray for a spirit of overflow in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Just like that, okay? You're not going to sit and chat and share each other's woes. You're not going to do that, okay? You're not going to complain, and you're not going to share, you know, if you could pray for my grandma, if you could pray for me, I haven't been feeling good. That, go get prayer from the prayer team afterwards if that's what you need. But in this group, you're just going to say a quick prayer for each other. God, help them to overflow, bring them to a mindset of abundance, okay? And so, and then the challenge is this, is what you're going to do this week is you're going to maybe email somebody or text somebody with a note of gratitude, all right? So that's three things, four things if you include praying for each other. Will everybody remember that? What's keeping me from overflowing? What's three things I'm grateful for? Say a quick prayer, and then you're going to text or email somebody or Facebook message somebody this week and tell them what you're grateful for, okay? and you're going to spend time with Jesus. So go ahead, twos and threes. Go ahead, break up, twos and threes. Go now. Go now. We don't have a ton of time. Break up in twos and threes. Twos and threes. No more than three. There should be no more than three in a group. So twos and threes. Twos and threes. Twos and threes. So we want an abundance. We want a surplus mindset. We can live a life of overflow. What's that? Give you a minute? Give you a warning? You can still keep praying for him. So this week, again, my challenge is to spend time with God, to establish that connection, to make it your priority, just like brushing your teeth is your priority. Okay? It should be a better priority than brushing your teeth. Okay? So you're going to spend time with him, and then you're going to text or you're going to email somebody just a little bit of gratitude. So let's go ahead and pray. If you need prayer this morning, prayer team will be back there. And then we're just going to worship a little bit. So why don't you stand with me? God, we love you so much. We thank you that your intention for us is not shortage but surplus. Your intention for us is not life that's withering, life that's dried up, life that's kind of wasting away, but God, your intention for us is life abundant, life overflowing, God. Lord, I pray that we would be people that are connected to you, that connection with you, God, would take the highest priority in our lives. And Lord, that we would be people that are grateful, that are just overflowing with gratitude. So much to be grateful for. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.